You're just sitting at home doing this shit, and you should be honoring a medal for this. Stop fucking around and be a man. There ain't nothing out here for you. Oh, yes, there is. This.
Yo, Nas, yo, what the fuck is this bullshit on the radio, son?
Chill, that's the shit, girl, chill.
Hey, yo, pull out and shave, man, let's count this money, nigga. Hey, yo, Nas, put the jacks, put the brass over there, you know what I'm saying? Cause we've been in the Jacksons, you know how we get down, baby.
True, Nas, man, shit is mad real right now in the projects for a nigga, yo, where the mother? All them crab ass rappers be coming up to me, man, where the mother, man? I think you need to let them niggas know it's real, man.
True indeed, you know what I'm saying? But when it's real, you doing this even without a record contract, you know what I'm saying?
He's
doing this since back then.
Welcome to another episode of Rodis Live. Let's get it.
They call him
Welcome to Rodis Live. I'm your host, Rodis. Today on the podcast, we're going to talk about the spark that motivated me to become a rapper. So, at the beginning of the episode, you heard the Genesis by Nas, you know, the break beat, him rapping over Live at the Barbecue, which was his first experience into the game, and then, you know, Nas and AZ and Jungle just kicking it, and it's something that he said that made me realize that I could be a rapper, even a dope MC. So I'm gonna walk y'all through this journey today. And what he actually said was, if you doing this, you doing this without a record contract. I've been doing this since back then. So basically, that was the initial spark that made me feel like, hey, I could do this shit. So welcome to Rodis Live. Let's get it. It's time for another segment of What's Poppin', y'all. Ice Cube, that's what's poppin'. MC Ren, that's what's poppin'. KRS-One, that's what's poppin'. Rakim, that's what's poppin'. Chuck D, that's what's poppin'. Kid and Play, that's what's poppin'. EPMD, that's what's poppin'. Redman, that's what's poppin'. Tupac, that's what's poppin'. Notorious Big, that's what's poppin'. Yo, we doing something different today on Rodis Live. This is the first song that I ever recorded and put on wax. It's called Back to the Dungeon. And oh yeah, I'm Rodis. I'm the Rodis Live What's Poppin' artist of the day, y'all.
Chi-Town's my home, the Windy City. Bitches with attitudes act rude and very shitty. My peeps be trashy, here's the nitty gritty. Sit back and recline while I bust these rhymes. Shit's fucked, you need to listen to this. Hallways where I live, smell like piss. Wild Irish rose, winos with fucked up clothes. Niggas with stitches, scheming on jazzy mouth bitches. Players with beepers, often got cursed. Back in the day, they might have tried to snatch a purse. Hated the drama, being preached by my mama. I evaded, got ghosted and escaped to the roof. Chilling by the elevator shaft, was sipping on genuine draft. Bruised whenever I heard bad news. Some of my partners got shot up by other crews. Then I started thinking about the bodies found stinking in the empty vacant lot spaces. Killers left few traces, heads and bodies decapitated were found 50 or more spaces apart. The killers ripped out their hearts over crack sales and dead people to tell. Can you smell? This is the dungeon where I dwell. Yeah, this is the dungeon where I dwell. Where all the shady niggas fell. Yeah, this is the dungeon where I dwell. 2-5, bring it on. The shady niggas fell. The smell, aka foul aroma. A mess resulting from the stress and the drama. The sons and mamas bailing from body bags and comas. Got burned in the process of dodging the dragons. Keeping cabbage, living lavish. Flossing, still bragging. Chilling in an iller fashion. Rolling short body caddies and boot wagons. Fronted cheese, selling keys, recopping, flipping them with ease. Shopping, it seems, trying to get this money's just a deadly disease. Never flex though, cause in my state I'm free to roam. Acquired a Lex and got a tech to your dome. The next day, in the Buckwild urban city, and fellas, man, I know they jealous, bunching info. They tricking, telling what they don't know to send a player plunging back to the dungeon. Yeah, this is the dungeon where I dwell. Where all the shady niggas fell. Yeah, this is the dungeon where I dwell. 2-5, bring it on, the shady niggas fell. Way to the crib, here's the scenario. I'm tripping over drunks and smoked out fiends. It looks like hell as I bail to the scene. I see a nigga, yo, he's spiking. The chickens dyking, they selling shit. These niggas is selling blows and tuning blows. They won't listen to my flows. I'm outside, the niggas got 40 ounces. The cops is bouncing. Niggas on the regular, competitors out there shooting motherfuckers for work. It seems like the system and police is a jerk. Yeah, this is the dungeon where I dwell. Where all the shady niggas fell. Yeah, this is the dungeon where I dwell. 2-5, bring it on, the shady niggas fell. Yeah, this is the dungeon where I dwell. 2-5, bring it on, the shady niggas fell. Yeah, all my niggas in the streets, on the blocks. You know what I'm saying, we know the system fucked up. You know what I'm saying, the big man in charge, he fucked up. Police fucked up, the system fucked up, the streets fucked up. We fucked up too, you know what I'm saying? We part of the problem, we gotta stop pointing fingers, man.
Yeah, so that was Back to the Dungeon, produced by my homeboy Owens from Swale Hair Productions. I got nothing but love for my homie Owens because he took chances with me. He took the time to make me the beat. And he took the time to record me. And that song is available on all streaming platforms. And I want y'all to jam it or slam it. So I'ma leave a poll in the podcast episode to jam it or slam it. That's something that we do in Chicago. So I'm gonna give y'all a chance to jam it or slam it. You want some cool merchandise? Well, you want to go to RidersLivePodcastStore.com. Also, we have t-shirts, hoodies, and drinkware accessories. You just shop, pick out what you like, and your orders will come straight to you directly. Also, subscribe to the Riders Live Podcast. It's on all streaming platforms. You can even listen on RidersOnline.net. You can get my music from the link tree. You can access my merchandise store. And you can listen on all streaming platforms right through the link tree. So subscribe, rate, and review to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify for Podcasters, Google Podcasts, and Good Pods. And you can also leave a review on RidersOnline.net. I appreciate everybody who's been listening to the show. Keep tapping in for great content and episodes. Thank you. Let's get into it. So here in the Genesis, it actually motivated me to record, start writing, and taking rap more serious. Now, I always wrote like short stories and poems and things of that nature. I even dabbled, you know, writing lyrics and stuff. Like, shout out to my friends in high school, Hollis Rock, DeMarcus McDaniels, and Danny Cox. You know, they was the top MCs in my school, and they was so dope. I used to listen to them all the time. Rest in peace, Big Bass. My boy Mingo, aka DJ Flex. They used to be doing their thing. I used to be on the scene, but I never let nobody know I could rhyme. I never let nobody know I could rap. And shout out to Jeff Ski as well. He a Hunter's legend from Chicago. You know, I used to be on the scene. I used to be in the spots, but I never let nobody know that I got busy on the mic, you know. But I always used to listen, and I always used to write. I didn't know nothing about bar structure or anything like that, but I found out quick. It wasn't no internet or nothing, but when I listened to break beats, I kind of listened to the beats, and it kind of told me what to do, and I kind of sensed and figured out where to place and put parts in the actual song. So here in the Genesis, it was like a catalyst, a motivator to let me know that I could really, really do the music thing. So I went forward with it. And if you listen to the podcast before, the first time I ever picked up the mic and rapped in front of people, some of my written raps that I had written down in notebooks, places and places and places, you know, I wrote my raps down, I memorized them, and the first time I ever picked up the mic, it was at an open mic in Marseille, France. It was live. And if anybody wondering how I got to France, it's because I was in the Marines. I was on my first deployment. I was on the USS Woodby Allen. It was a destroyer. The ship was a destroyer. It's now decommissioned. And my homie, he had the Illmatic CD. He was from Georgia. And he let me listen to the Illmatic CD. And when I heard that Genesis, I was like, okay, this tight. This interesting. This might be something, you know, that I could listen to. And then after I listened to the whole album, I was like, man, this pretty dope right here. And then not long after that, the source, it was the Bible. The Bible of rap at the time. If they said your stuff was dope, it was dope. If they said you was official, you was official. If they said the album was good, the album was good. And, man, I listened to the CD because prior to getting it, you know, me and my boys, we had went to Freaknik before we went on deployment, and we was listening to the tape. We listened to the tape so much it melted. I said that before as well, but this is the first time that I really, 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 really got to sit with the CD. I think I was on sick bay or something. I think I messed up my finger or something, and I was listening to it. And another one of the CDs that I was listening to at the time that just came out was All Eyes on Me. I actually listened to All Eyes on Me after I played Illmatic maybe 30 times. And, you know, Nas inspired me and he motivated me from that one line. That was the spark that created Rodas the MC, you know. I was checking out my rhymes and everything, and I was like, man, I got some slick shit. So I was like, man, I got style. I got lyrics. I could write stories. I'm versatile with the way that I could approach my writing. But at the time, I never heard me on any recordings, like a tape or anything. At this time, Dats was out, 4 tracks and 8 tracks. Everything was analog. Things wasn't digital like they are right now. But what I did was I wrote every day. I wrote a cappella rhymes every day. I rehearsed them. I practiced them till I got better and better. And this is before I ever laid anything down. Anything down. So my writing process at the time, I guess you could say it was like a freestyle writing process, because at the time, I didn't have no beats. I didn't have no beats at all. So it was also harder to get beats too, because people was trying to jack up the price of beats. They was trying to make themselves bigger than what they was and everything. And then, like, so, to be honest, some of the beats that people was trying to sell me, they just wasn't that good. And I wasn't going, you know what I'm saying? I had patience. I wait. So, you know, I just started writing every day. I had a lot of downtime in the Marines when I wasn't working and training and all of that. So I was writing. You know, and I bought a rap album from a famous platinum brand ambassador. They might be the GOAT or considered the GOAT right now, but when they came out with their second album, in my opinion, that shit was trash. I ain't gonna say who the artist is because I respect them. I got love for them. But after I heard that shit, I was like, man, I could do this shit. I know I could do this shit. But later on, I found out that the artists, they made the album bogus on purpose because they didn't want it to sell based on their contractual situation. So the only challenge that I really faced was, you know, getting beats, how I was gonna get in the studio and all of that. But like I mentioned before, my boy Owens, shout out to Swell Hair Productions, we recorded the song on a Roland DR550 and an 8-track. We recorded the song on tape. And it's the song that y'all heard in the episode. And for it to be my first song, it came out pretty dope, I think, if I should say so myself. Not to toot my own horn, I initially had plans on putting that on my first album, but I didn't. It didn't flow with what I had planned, so I didn't put the song on my first album. You know, I kept it in a stash, and I put it on my second album. That's what I decided to do, because I wasn't trying to just go off the strength of that song. Even though it was good, I knew and I felt deep down in my heart I could do better. And I said to myself, hey, you know, I'm gonna get better beats. Even if I don't have good beats, you know, I always feel that the beat is lifeless until you put your rhymes on the beat. You know, when I listen to the beats, I can see the words that I need to say. But, you know, I always make it a practice to write so I can always be prepared and I can always be sharp. You know, if somebody pay me for a feature or if I get on a feature, you know what I'm saying? So let's talk about the first time I actually recorded in a professional studio. So I'm gonna keep it a whole buck. I was ready. I was ready. You know, I was making my rounds and everything. I was working at this place. And one of my coworkers, she told me that her husband did music. And she actually hooked me up with her husband. He had his own independent label called Fahrenheit Entertainment. And he was telling me, we talked on the phone, and he was telling me, RIP Big Steve-O, he was telling me, like, man, don't come unless you ready, this, that, and the other. You know, I don't have time to be wasting this, that, and the other. So when I went over there to Fahrenheit Entertainment, he had maybe two rappers and a group. So one of the rappers he had, he was cold. I don't remember his name, but he sounded like Rakim, and he was dope. His voice sounded just like Rakim, but I don't think his work ethic was there. Or maybe, you know, I was so hungry at the time. Well, I say I was hungry. You know, I was knocking songs out back to back. So the first track that he laced me, I think I spit 131 bars on that. Straight through. And at this time, it wasn't no punching in or none of that shit. You know, you had to be on point with your rhymes and your verses and everything. You know, it's so easy to record now. It's like daycare, you know. It's just like, you know, putting milk in a bottle and giving it to a baby. If you want to compare it, recording to back then and now. So I went in there, I got in there, and I did the song, and I bodied it. You know, I wasn't really nervous. I was kind of nervous with the initial introduction of me and him in person. But by us talking, we was cool. We kind of had a rapport and everything. He was talking a little slick in the studio because I didn't rhyme for him. You know, that wasn't my thing. You know, I ain't want to get anybody no loose verses where they could actually, you know, use my stuff and record it and all of that. You know, I was still learning the business while I was going through these studios making my rounds. So one memorable moment in the studio that I learned was time is money. Time is money. So I always made it my business to come to the studio prepared. You know, if I didn't have a beat by me writing acapella rhymes, I was used to writing. The beat was just a plus because I could get a vibe from the beat, and it could bring out the best in me. So that's what I learned. And then, like, if I actually had the beat already, I'd write to the beat. I practice my rhyme just like push-ups, shooting free throws, layups. Yeah, I practice my rhymes. I rehearse my rhymes, so I wouldn't have to waste no money in the studio. And like a lot of people, they liked my work ethic because, you know, when I was working on my first album, I was coming through there knocking out songs back to back to back, knocking them out, killing them. So that initial spark from me hearing that, Nas let me know that it could be done. I didn't know that he was shopping his demo. I didn't know that, you know, him and AZ was making their rounds, doing their thing. But, you know, in the Midwest, when I got out of the military, even though I had a job and everything, you know, my love and passion for the music, it turned from a spark into an inferno. Because I love music so much. I love rap so much. You know, I wanted to master the art of rhyme because I love it so much. So we're going to discuss some of my milestones. So me and my homie CeeLo, we worked at TCI, AT&T, and Xfinity because they was bought out. We wasn't switching from company to company. But we met at the job initially, and we both rapped. His cousin was Wata Gotti from the group Booing Gotti, who was signed with R. Kelly. And Gotti was doing his thing. He had an independent record out before he got with R. Kelly. And my rhyming partner, Shanga Jawori, a.k.a. CeeLo, you know, he was motivated to rhyme. So we did a 9-song EP. That was the first official project that we put out with the barcode, the posters, mixed and mastered. We got everything pressed up at Discmakers. So we sold a lot of units there. So I got the CNR EP that I'm very proud of. Then my first solo album, The Hunt Side, is available on all streaming platforms. My second solo album, Self-Preservation, is 16 tracks. Only 2 features, I'm Holding That Boy Down. It's available on all streaming platforms. And you could pick up that, you could get it off RidersOnline.net. Then my third album, which is Focus of Fold. I did maybe 4 or 5 mixtapes in between. They're available on that PIF before I did my third album. I was doing features with people because I took a break, like maybe a 10-year break from rhyme, but I still rapped, I still listened, I still wrote. But when I came back, when I dropped my third album, I was so serious that I put out a single called Sunflower Seeds, and I charted independently. I think I was on the charts for maybe like 8 weeks. I was getting like maybe 5,000 plays a week, and I was independent. The labels, they started coming and everything. So at this point, after I charted on my own in the top 50 independent, top 50 independent hip-hop and R&B, when the labels started coming, that's when I really knew that, you know, not to toot my own horn, that I was good. But the independent money was much better than some of the deals that was being offered. What else? I got a song with Nature on my third album. My last album, R4, I got a song with Cormega. But my song Sunflower Seeds, it charted. I have a song with Fashion. You know, when I did these features, these were artists that I respected and admired. And they were also strategic moves because I wanted to get their fan base, and they wanted to tap into the Chicago market. So it was a win-win, and none of the songs was trash. So I'm gonna let y'all listen for yourself. Y'all can hear all my albums at RidersOnline.net. And one thing that I wanna mention as well, as an indie artist, I put out videos for every project except for The Hunt Side. I'm currently working on The Hunt Side 2 now. So off of my Focus of Fold album, I put out a video for my song Bang Out. I put out a video for Sunflower Seeds. And then I put out a video for a song called Crown Royal. And If I'm not mistaken, it might be a video for the song Ceasefire featuring Nari. Shout out to Nari. Shout out to Lala for coming through on Sunflower Seeds. I think she was in eighth grade when she banged that out. So, man, I really educated myself in the business first. You know, thinking like a label, you'll always have money. You'll never be broke. I don't never believe in those smoke and mirrors. Like now, everybody on the internet, the new hustle is to hustle artists. So I advise all artists to educate themselves. You know. But a lot of the challenges that I faced early on, it was harder to get beats. But I always remained patient, and I didn't pick any beats that I didn't want. Now, if you're an artist and you're looking for beats, you can even do Zoom sessions with producers to make sure your stuff's tight. You can go to airbit.com and you could get beats. You can also get a home studio. I would tell any artist to invest in a home studio. Learn your equipment. You can generate revenue off your studio. It's 24 hours in a day. You could charge $25 an hour. Multiply that times 24. You in a game. You can make money. But the thing about me, I don't like people coming to the crib and all of that. So it's a no-go. Only a select few artists could record in my crib. But I really got the studio so I could wake up in the middle of the night and record and make music whenever I want to. And then if I do features, you know, I could send them back and knock them out at any time. I'm not on nobody else's clock. I'm not holding up nobody else's project. So that's what's popping. So yeah, so by not saying that you doing this with or without a record deal, that was the fuel to make me go hard, pause, with the music. So this has been another episode of Riders Live. I hope y'all enjoyed the spark. Y'all make sure y'all go download and stream my music on all streaming platforms. But make sure y'all go to RidersOnline.net. I got a new album. It's downloadable. It's streamable. It's called Riders. Features songs with Cormega, BC, Fashion. I turned my album in for review, and the two reviews that I got, I'm proud of. I sent the album off of review to two other credible publications, and I also got a review coming in a magazine. I'll let y'all know when it'll be out so y'all could read it for yourself. But what I need y'all to do is I need y'all to subscribe to Riders Live Podcast, and I need y'all to go to my website, RidersOnline.net, and make sure y'all go ahead and download my album. It's $8. It's streamable as well. Y'all could get everything in my Linktree. That's Linktree/RODES. This has been another episode of Riders Live. Peace. We dropping the mic on Riders Live. I appreciate everyone tapping into the show. The podcast recently charted at number 42 on Apple Podcasts. I couldn't have did that without y'all, the listeners. I appreciate y'all so much for listening to my show. I just finished a 15-episode season with bonuses in between, fine few. So that's season 6 of the Riders Live podcast. It included 15 episodes with bonuses in between. If you haven't heard the season, Every episode in the season, I had a featured guest that I kicked it with or interview or talk to. Y'all go ahead and check it out. The season included Uncle Dolomite, Donnie Dallo, The Smoke Shack, CEO 5000, Moet Mo, Shan B. Podden, The GOAT, 12 Cal, The Wealthiest Man in Podcasting, Serious Note, who else? And a lot more. The season was pretty dope. Everybody tapped in for it, and I appreciate y'all for pulling up. At the time of this recording, I've dropped 4 episodes this month. This episode will make the 5th. Episodes drop every Friday at midnight. You can expect bonus episodes on Mondays if I drop a bonus episode. You can expect more interviews, but that won't be the Achilles heel of this show. I love having guests on here. I love casters and everything. I'm in a lab working on music. I just finished verses for Charismatic and Pape G. I'll keep y'all updated on those songs. And I'm working on my album. It should be out around Christmas. So this has been another episode of Riders Live. Peace.